Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies. I am so excited to be back with you for another Women's Bible Study. I am your host, Sonia Walker, the visionary of the Essence of a Woman's Ministry. We have been doing a series called Pregnant with Destiny, Time to Give Birth. And it has really been life-changing. It has opened our eyes to understanding that bringing forth the promises of God is not going to be easy. It is not going to happen without us going through the process. It's not going to be an overnight sensation, but if he said it, that it shall come to pass. And so I'm really excited about this next lesson. Today we're going to talk about being favored and fruitless. Being favored and fruitless. And so due to the limitations of our time, I'm going to go ahead and pray so that we can dive into the Word of God. If you are listening, you know, you also have the Bible study notes that is also available to you so that you can go back and reference the scriptures and know the Word of God for yourself and kind of have your own intimate time with the Lord during your devotion. Okay, so Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, God, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for a rhema word. Lord, I ask that you would give me the strength and the courage to say what you would have me to say, to strengthen their heart, God, to increase their faith, to do what only you can do. And so, Lord, we give you all the praise, we give you all the honor, and we give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, ladies, we are talking about favored and fruitless. The definition of favor means to be preferred, to be chosen, to be selected, to be endowed with special gifts. Let me say that again. It means to be chosen, okay? When we talk about being fruitless, we're talking about not being able to produce, okay? So here it is. We have been chosen by the Lord to do something that we are unable to do. We're unable to do it in our own strength. Our finances can't do it because we don't have enough. And so it's going to require us to have faith that what he said is going to come to pass no matter what it looks like. And so oftentimes when I was studying this lesson, when we talk about being favored, I don't think we really understand what that means. To be favored by God. We think that it is a cliche where we just walk around and we say, how are you? You say, I'm blessed and highly favored, and not even realize what you just said. Because favored is people who are truly favored don't walk around talking about that they are favored. People who have really been favored by God don't even realize that all of the suffering that they're going through is because they do have the favor of God. So favor is not about finances. You can't buy it. You cannot select it. You can't pray for it. You can't ask for it. He said, I chose you. And so when I was studying this lesson, he gave me the definition of what it really means and what he means when he says that you have the favor of God on your life, okay? And we're going to find this definition in John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. Matter of fact, it is verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. but you are no longer a part of the world. Listen to this. He says, I chose you. That means that I favored you to come out of the world so it hates you. Okay? Let me stop right there. Because we have to understand that when we are talking about the favor of God, that means that you are going to be hated. Why? Because you don't belong to the world. He told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I had ordained you, I sanctified you, I called you, I chose you. He says, I chose you, you didn't choose me. I chose you before you were even born. So when we are walking around saying we are favored by God, what we're saying is that we're favored by God, but the world hates us. Okay? Verse 20 says, do you remember what I told you? A slave is no greater than the master. Since, this is Jesus talking, since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They would do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sins. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfilled what is written in the scriptures. They hated me without a cause. So when we walk around and we say that we are favored by God, what you're saying is I'm persecuted for his name's sake. They hate him, so they're going to hate me. That favored means that I must suffer persecution, that I am going through things because I am favored by God. And again, a person who is not favored does not walk around projecting or saying or bragging that they're favored, because a person who is really favored by God is going through persecution, right? A person who is really favored by God is going through the labor pains of trying to give birth to something that you cannot give birth to by yourself. He told Mary, listen to this, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. I want to go there. Luke 1 and 26. Luke 1 and 26. Listen to this. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a underlined virgin. Underline the word virgin, okay? She was a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Look at her response to him saying that she was favored. Her response in verse 29 says she was confused and disturbed by what the angel means. Wait a minute. Why was she confused and disturbed when he just told her that you are favored and that God is with you? Here it is, because one thing that I've learned, that favor will interrupt your life. When you have the favor of God on you, it will interrupt your plan. When you have the favor of God on your life, he will come in and rearrange everything that is going on in your life. Why? Because you are favored. Right? Now, here it is. The angel appeared to her and told her, Look, you're favored by God, and he is with you. Why does she have that kind of response? Here it is. Let's go. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Now look at verse 34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen, being that I am a virgin? Beauties, don't you know that when God has favored you, he will do something in your life that you cannot do on your own? He will assign you something that is going to require him to do it. This is why we can't walk around talking about, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. That might be factual, but if you are truly favored by God and God tells you, you know, hey, I want you to start this business, but you don't have no money. He tells you to go back to school, but you don't have no money. He tells you that your marriage is blessed, but you're going through hell. He tells you that I'm going to save your child, but your child is out in the street. Do you understand that he is telling you something that only he can do? So you have been favored, but you're fruitless, because you cannot produce on your own what he said. But he tells her, you're favored. And the Bible says that she was confused and disturbed. The angel told her that she was favored by God and that he was with her. We're going to go to another one. I want you to go to John chapter 4. And I have to move quickly because we have more to cover. Let me see. Not John chapter 4. Hold on. 2 Kings 4. Go to 2 Kings real quickly. I'm going to show you something. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we are going to scroll down to, we're going to go down to 11, all right? So 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 11. It says, one day Elijah returned to Shunem, and he went up to the upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, hold on, things are acting up here. I don't think the enemy wants you to hear this. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elijah said to Gehazi, tell her we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. I want you to read the whole story. So start in verse 1, but we're going to pick up in verse 11. Verse 13 says, Elijah said to Gehazi, tell her we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. Later, Elijah asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son. Listen to this. And her husband is an old man. Call her back again. Elijah told him, now I want you to pay attention to this. Remember, I said to you that money cannot buy you favor. Okay? You have to understand that this woman was wealthy. Her husband was wealthy. That with all the money that she had, she was favored, but she was fruitless. She was not able, she did not have any children. Because remember, to produce means to give birth. And when we talk about being fruitless, fruit is considered produce, okay? So he said that she was not able, she did not have a son, right? Verse 15 says, call her back again, Elijah told him. When the woman returned, Elijah said to her as she stood in the doorway, he says, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. Listen to her reply. Now remember, she's favored, but she's fruitless. She says, no, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. Listen to her reply. Listen to her reply. She's saying to me, don't tell me that I am going to give birth to my desires. Don't tell me that my, don't deceive me. Don't tell me my dreams are going to come to pass. Do you know how long I've waited for this moment? I've given up. I've given up hope. She says, don't get my hopes up again. Don't have me believing in something that's not going to happen. Lord, please don't keep telling me. Lord, please don't keep showing me that things are going to work out. Lord, please don't keep showing me because things haven't worked out for me so far. Right? He says, but about this time next year. Why? Because the promise, he made her a promise, so the promise speaks of an appointed time. So if he says that about this time next year you're going to have a son, that means she can't wait till next year to start working on it. She has to start working on it now. She has to be intimate now. She can't wait till next year. Told her is that I'm opening up your womb so that you can bear fruit. Because remember in the first class, we talked about being barren. Barren means that you're unable to produce. We talked about being busy but not productive. And so he told her about this time next year. So as I share with the women in the class, you got to start working on it now. You can't wait. If God told you that your marriage is going to work, work on it now. If he told you that you're going back to school, work on it now. If he told, whatever God told you, start working on it now. Right? So number one, I want you to write down the promise. God has made you a promise. This means that he has made a covenant with you, right? And you, when you find in your notes in the book of Genesis 15, I want you to read that on your own, Genesis 15, 1 through 6, he promises Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Abram was 75 years old when he told him that, okay? Now, mind you, Abram says to him, Lord, I don't mean to question you, but how am I going to be the father of many nations when I don't even have a child? I don't have any produce. I don't even have any fruit. How am I going to be a father of many nations? Because whenever God gives us a promise, what happens is we question, how are you going to bring this to pass? Right? How? Because, Lord, this thing's impossible for me to do. I can't see how you're going to bring the promise to pass. Don't you know I'm old? Don't you know I've tried this before and it didn't work? Don't you know that I'm still going through hell in my marriage? Don't you know that I'm still on this job? Don't you know, Lord, how are you going to make, how are you going to bring all this to pass? But you have to remember that the promise speaks of an appointed time. By the time that his first son came, or the son of promise came, Abraham was 100 years old. 25 years? God spoke, that's what a promise do. God speaks the promise, and when he speaks a promise to you in the beginning, it speaks to the end. It speaks of an appointed time. He's telling you what the end is going to be, right? So that as you walk through the process, you remember the promise that he told you in the beginning, because in the end, it shall speak and not lie, right? Habakkuk 2:2, he says, write the vision and make it plain. So those who read it, what may run with it, though the vision tarry, though it look like it's not going to happen, he says, what? Wait for it. It shall speak and not lie. My word doesn't return to me void, but it will accomplish where I sent it. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither is he the son that he should repent. Right? So God does not lie. He doesn't have to repent. But when you read the story of the promise and the covenant that he made with Abram, you will find out that he put Abram to sleep when he made the covenant, because he swore by himself that he was going to bless you. Oh, I love that. He didn't have to have a conference call. He didn't have to have this convention. He didn't have to bring other people in. He put everybody, he didn't bring nobody else in. He put Abram to sleep, and he swore by himself that he was going to what? Bless you. Then he says, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. Why? Because Abram was favored by God. He was favored, yet he was fruitless, but he had a promise. I want you to write this down. Promises always produce problems. Okay? The promise always produce a problem. So I want you to write that down. Number one is promise. Number two is problem. Why does it create a problem? The problem is that when God gives us a promise, we want convenience. Okay, so underneath promise, I want you to write convenience. When you think of the word, or when Webster defines the word convenience, it means to be close, to be right around the corner. When God gives us a promise, we want things to be happen quickly. We want them to be right around the corner. We don't want to have to wait. Oh, what you mean, Lord? I'm going to have to wait 25 years before? Do you not hold? Not know how old I will be. I will be 100 years old. But God never tells him when he's going to do it or the day that he's going to do it. But he did tell him that he would do it, right? He did tell Mary that he would do it. He told us that he would do it. But he doesn't give us how he's going to do it, right? So the promise created a problem. Why did it create a problem? Because Sarah says, let's go there real quickly in our last few minutes. Genesis 18, we're going to start at verse 9. Okay? I want you to read that. I want you to read that on your own. All right? Genesis, I'm going to go back to 16. Let's see if this is it. Okay, yes. Okay, let's go back, Genesis 16. But Genesis 18, 9 through 15 is in your notes for you to read. Genesis 16:1 says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children. Listen to this. The reason why in class we went to Genesis 18, 9 through 15 is because Sarah was the one who God chose to have the son of promise to Abram. Okay? She was favored by God, but she was fruitless. Okay? So now, Genesis 16, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. Listen to that. She took the matters in her own hands because she knew that there was a promise, but she didn't know how God was going to do it. So what she did, she intervened, right? She wanted convenience. She wanted it to happen in her timing. And so what she does, she says, well, you know, I'm barren. I don't think it's going to be me. So I want you to, maybe what God meant was my servant will have a baby for you. And then maybe that's how he's going to do it. Isn't that like us? That when God gives us a promise, we intervene by because we want convenience. And I asked them in class, or I made a statement in class, oftentimes we want convenience over covenant. We want the convenience of having it now more than we want the promise. Why? Because the promise takes time. The promise requires faith. The promise requires that you be persecuted for his name's sake. The promise requires more than the convenience. Right? So it goes on down. Listen to this in verse 3. It says, so Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as wife. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Wait a minute. That's convenient. It happened with Hagar quickly, but she wasn't the one who was favored. Right? Listen to what I'm saying. Hagar was a woman of convenience. Sarah was favored. Sarah was the one who God promised that she would become pregnant, right, with the son of promise. But because she couldn't see how he was going to do it, Hagar is convenient. So she gives Hagar to her husband, and Hagar immediately gets pregnant. I asked them in class, have you ever felt like sometimes things happen for people quicker than they happen for you? Seems like you're still waiting, you're still working at it, you're still trying, you want to give up some days, you feel like you can't make it, some days you got faith, and some days you feel like a failure, some days you feel like you can, and some days you feel like you can't. And then somebody over here who does the same thing, it happens for them, like, quickly, right? All right, look at this, verse 6 says, Abram replied, let's go back. Verse 4, so Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. Now listen to this. The promise always creates problems because we want convenience. Hagar is now a problem for Sarah. I really want us to understand what it truly means to be favored by God. What it truly means is that you're going to go through. What it truly means is that this is not going to come to pass in our timing. It's not going to come to pass the way we want it to, but it will come to pass at the appointed time. So I pray that this lesson has been a blessing. I pray that we begin to understand that whatever God promised us, it shall come to pass. And so until next time, I just pray the blessings of the Lord over you, that this storm that you're going through, it has to come to pass. Because you are favored by God, and there is a promise over your life. Love you much. Until next time, God bless. Bye-bye.